This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The National Anthem is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue every day here at noon on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com. That's where you order catering. What do you need catering for? Think about it. Think about it, Lance, Bill, Jay Diz. Y'all need catering? Is anybody? Do you know anybody that needs catering? Billy G's Carolina Barbecue will cater it for you, and they're also available at Founders Park. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have it delivered to your doorstep. JC, stand up, JC. Are you wearing your new Carolina baseball jersey you got at Gamecock Traditions?
Yes, I am. Nice. Yeah, it's I have the famously I wore and gosh, my Facebook popped up. It was 1 year ago this day that we had the Carolina Rise, well, the now defunct Carolina Rise meet and greet down in Charleston, and certainly Lance Player. Like, I saw a picture of Lance Player, all the guys from the chat box that were there. Oh, yeah. All the Rise members. Just want to say thank you for that. That really put a lot of money in the pockets of those football players that were there, and really got, I mean, for the collective, it was good. It kind of spurred a summer of growth. And then, you know, things happened, and we ended up forming one big collective. And wouldn't have been able to do that without you guys' support. So, and there will be another event like that, by the way, coming up. I don't have the details yet. It'll be Garnet Trust. It'll be in Columbia, but there will be a wing eating contest again. We're not letting go of that. So stay tuned. I think it'll be something you guys will get behind, because you have an opportunity to show kind of what type of fan base South Carolina has to some people that may be in town that weekend. And I'll get more on that pretty soon. Clint asked about the basketball match just real quick. Up to, it's going okay. I mean, it's obviously not going to be as popular as football, but my basketball does have some momentum right now. I think $309,000 have been raised towards the $500,000, which we need for the match for both programs. So that's good. I will say a chunk of it came from one very generous person, but we've got some momentum still going with that, and still going to push that for the week. But yeah, back to the baseball jersey. I famously had the, because I love the interlocking SC with the pinstripes. That's my favorite. Back when Mike used to call the games, during the Tanner era, those were just, I always thought it was just like, man, that's like walking into the daggum pool with a banana hammock on. All right. That was like we're the New York Yankees, you know, basically is what it said. Tanner loved to do things like that, like the batting practice thing and all that. So I got that jersey last year and wore it to the event. And then this year, I wanted something a little different because, you know, I'm a bigger guy these days. I'm working on improving that, but 90 degree weather, these things breathe really nicely. Like, and I don't look melted and poured into them. They kind of hang on me. So I got it to wear to the game. Unfortunately, Jan can attest to this and call me names probably because I wussed out on going to the game Saturday with him because had a long.
You were hungover.
I was hungover. Thank you, John Strickland. But anyway,
wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, but that was. I may get to a game. I mean, I'm you know that's not my last trip to Columbia in the near future, so I'll get to a game and wear it. But I felt like today just because I was just you know. Some things, not everything impresses me, you know, when teams win or whatever. I was just daggum impressed with how, you know, losing a 15-13 game, you're 2 feet away after an improbable comeback Friday night. You know, you could have easily been like, oh, our goose is cooked. And no, oh gosh, Kentucky's guy, they're so good, you know. And they just went out and dominated. So I felt like representing a little bit today because of that. Because that was just like in sports. Far too often we don't see teams do that should, and they so congratulations to them. That's why I'm rocking the jersey. And yes, Gamecock Traditions. I bought a lot more than that. I bought this visor that I have on. I didn't have a gray Gamecock visor, and I got a couple of really nice polos too that I'm rocking. So happy that money does go back into Garnet Trust and NIL as part of it, and certainly happy to support any sponsor we have here. I also ate at D's Wings while I was down there. So I'm supporting represent. All the if I was going to buy a Chevy truck while I was down there, I would go to Love Chevrolet. if I don't have a house down there right now, but if it burnt down, I'd go to Resto Pro.
That's right.
You know, I'm just all about it, you know, all you about it and all that, but certainly a great shop. A very nice lady to check me out too. There at Gamecock Traditions, customer service was great, and so I'm just can't say enough good about them and the breathability of these jerseys.
With that said, we'll bring in the golden tones of the great Mike Morin to get his thoughts on your attire, Mike.
Oh, you're muted, Mike.
Mike, you got to unmute to talk on this show. Other shows will allow it, but we won't.
Did Mike just laugh?
Yeah, I thought you guys took care of that. I didn't know I had to manually hit the unmute button.
In certain situations, you do, certain you don't. It's just,
yeah,
it's
yeah. Sometimes always, I can, but if it's manually muted on your end, I thought
maybe Phil was on a labor strike. He's a unionized guy now, so he's like, I'm not hitting the damn button, Morgan. You hit the button yourself. My union dues have been paid, and it says specifically I don't have to unmute you. We got a mutiny on our hands.
You son of a...
I was saying is that JC looks stunningly handsome, which that's kind of redundant, but yes, the pinstripe jersey looks fantastic. The visor, which JC is helping carry the Spurrier legend. I've always been a visor guy myself. I get a little heated when I wear a ball cap. So it was up to me, like baseball players could wear visors. And I'm like Costanza trying to petition the Yankees to go to all cotton uniform, breathable cotton. But you guys look great. It's great to be with you. I'm sorry I'm a little late. I'll tell you what I did. This is how absent-minded I can be. So I had the show on, and then I paused. I had an important phone call. I paused it, and then I unpaused it, and I'm like, oh, I got time. I'll go get a sub. I went down the street. I got a sub, which I'll probably annihilate during one of our commercial breaks. And then I'm listening to Whittle, and I'm like, well, I know Jamie's going to take it past the post. He's going like maybe 1202 conservatively. And then I'm like, damn, he's really pushing the testing the boundaries. It's like 1204 and he's still got him on. I guess I'll just take my time signing. And then I realized when I unpaused it on YouTube, it was running behind. So my sense of real time was not accurate. And so then I'm like, wow, they came back really early from that commercial break when I signed up. Oh, they're live, and I'm behind. Anyway, long story short, that's my bad. And punctuality is a key for me.
It's okay.
And I feel like I fired up music today.
Like, you know, like we were going to play off somebody, except
all, right streaming, on. All streaming is delayed though. Like, okay. So Mississippi State, Carolina football game this year, I decided to hang with Michael Flint at his condo and watch it there instead of going in there with the crowds. I don't like crowds that much. So I was like, I'll just assume do it. Well, it sucks kind of to do it because you're sitting there, the ball hadn't snapped, and you hear the crowd react one way or the other. And his condo is kind of closer to the visitor stand. So there were some Mississippi State fans there in that end zone. I guess it's the south end zone corner, and that condo is kind of back there. So you would hear a dull roar or a large roar, and then you knew what the play. Well, you knew what was going to happen on the play. So the point is, all streaming is delayed.
It is delayed, and, not 4 or 5 minutes delayed, because that's my own doing.
Usually about a minute. Usually it's about a minute.
Yeah, that's okay, Mike. We forgive you.
Thank you.
Mike, we're glad to have you here.
We're not upset.
Because I've got a lot to say. I've got all kinds of thoughts. I can't wait for the Love Chevy drive around the SEC. I've got one of those cooked up. And yes, I did, as promised, for 20-something consecutive years, either live or via DVR, watched every single pick to the podium of the NFL draft. As an Atlanta resident now for the last 14 years, it's good to know that the Falcons have become a national punchline for the way they handled the draft. Apparently, as my man Chuck Oliver texted me during the draft, Chuck is a afternoon talk show host in Atlanta that I work with from time to time. He said, "Mike, the Falcons are just not good at football." And that's pretty much it. They're just not good at football. Like, it was really hard to screw this up. You just got Kirk Cousins to fill a huge quarterback void. It was the move that I thought they should have made. Now they spent $100 million guaranteed to make it. And so you got the 8 pick, and you've got a defense that's the worst pass rushing defense on the planet. And you've got Dallas Turner sitting right there, a gleam in his eye, ready to be a Falcon, go straight from Alabama and be a hellraiser off the edge. And you take Michael Penix, who now a top 10 pick, you drafted to sit on his ass for minimum 2 years. That's historic. And then you've got the two, it's like a clown show. You've got Fontenot and Raheem. So they could have hired Bill Belichick. You could have had Bill Belichick and Dallas Turner. Instead, you hire Raheem Morris, and you got a guy in Fontenot who has been butchering draft after draft, and you let him take Penix at 8 after you spend all that money on Kirk Cousins. You don't think that might fracture the locker room a little bit? If you know anything about Atlanta culturally, the boys that are doing a daily talk show, they're going to have to deal with that mess for a while. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's that was comical, but I found so many things fascinating about the draft, and I'll get into a lot of this when we do the drive around the SEC. But JC, I thought of you because I was doing a little digging, and I'm sure you've probably already heard some of these numbers. If not, you know them. Of the first of the 32 first round picks, how many, JC, Jamie, Phil, how many of you guys think were former 4 or 5 star recruits?
About a third of them.
So a third would be about 11.
Four or five.
It was
probably higher this year because of the quarterbacks, because they were all of them were pretty much highly. I mean, Penix was the outlier, but he was still a low 4-star because he's committed to Tennessee originally.
I have him as the first non 4 or 5 star was Penix. He's
high 3 probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I would say quite a few. I mean, the linemen, I don't know about. I know Alt was probably pretty highly rated, but I haven't actually done that research yet, so go ahead and tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to do closest to the pin, but I will go ahead and just spill the beans. No suspense on this show. 22 of the 32 were 4 or 5 star picks.
Oh, okay.
Nine of them were 5 star.
Hmm.
And yes, Quantrell's all over it. We need to like give Quantrell on the staff, man.
Yeah.
Is that your real picture? Quantrell looks like a famous person. I just don't know who.
He is famous. He's famous from here, as a matter of fact.
He's famous from here. People know Quantrill goes around town. They're like, yeah, I see you every day on Chat Row on ITG. Yeah, the only unranked, he stole my thunder. The only unranked was Jared Verse. He was basically a zero star coming out. That's why he went to Albany before he transferred to Florida State. But 9-5 star, 22 of the 32 were 4 or 5 star. What is the relevance of all that? I do think, JC, that the evaluation process and kids now playing in these all-star camps sooner and everything else, it's gotten better. Not because the people doing it are smarter, maybe, but because there's just more available to them. So like a JC Sherbert today versus the JC that worked for ESPN.com 15 years ago would be a lot more, your projections would be a lot more accurate, right? Because you just have more at your disposal today than you did back then.
There's a ton more data too out there. And like Huddle kind of changed the game, because when I started at Rivals in 06, I remember I hadn't been on an airplane in 18 years, and I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. So 18 years, I had been on a commercial airliner. My first trip, I got sent to the Bay Area in San Francisco, 6-hour flight out of Nashville and Southwest. So that freaked me out. But the reason we went out there, we had to go get film from like Oakland Tech and McClymonds High School and all those schools in the Bay Area. And it was literally VHS and some DVD. But we had a guy that took the VHS and downloaded it and put it on the internet, and everything was slow. And then DVDs came along. Well, then Huddle came along, and Huddle's just like, hey, upload your film here. Mm-hmm. So at the touch of a button, your and YouTube too, I mean, your film is available to everybody. And so when, you know, we used to rank guys with no film. We did finally send some, if they were borderline 5-star, we'd send somebody to watch them play live. And there were guys with no film that we would rank high, based on camp and offers and reputation and highlights on the 6 o'clock news. We did all right with those guys, but now if you have film starting from sophomore year, at a touch of a button, and the camps have gotten better, and there is a lot more data because there's a lot more camps, and I think evaluators have learned to value track times a little more than they once did. And it has, and then I think the composite rankings, which is something Shannon Terry and I came up with at 24/7 Sports. I think when you go by composite, it helps eliminate some of the inherent bias. And when I say inherent bias, I'm talking about like, and even in the NFL, you have scouts that fall complete, like our boy Daniel Kelly, they fall completely in love with a player. And sometimes they're not right. Sometimes they are. And I don't know that Daniel's not right. I'm just saying that you do have that sort of player bias, like, this is my guy. And so if you have a guy running things at Rivals, that's his guy, that guy's going to be ranked really high come hell or hard water by them. Well, then the other three networks may be like, it's more here. And one network may hate him. And so you get a nice, more realistic picture of the combined thoughts of the evaluators. And I'll say this too. I saw the stats. The best thing I did during the draft was watch believe it or not, the Pat McAfee show before the draft and the Pat McAfee coverage of the draft for one reason. Bill Belichick was on set.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick made everybody on that set feel stupid multiple times because they went through the top quarterbacks and he was like, none of them are all that good. They all need a lot of work. And then he got on the Telestrated show. And he's like, Drake May. He's like, nah, it's footwork right here. It's a mess. And he circled it. And Drake May looked like he was like doing some kind of mariachi dance. And you're like, dang, he's right. You know, and that was good. But they put up the scorecard of first rounders, 43% hit rate by the NFL guys. I've done the research for recruiting folks. And we in recruiting, we did things like, okay, because it terminates at the NFL draft. We feel like, look, a guy goes on to be all pro and he wasn't ranked, whatever. We want to get, the purpose is to project the guys that are going to get drafted, that are going to do well enough in college to get drafted. And then that's it. Then whatever can happen. All these people are like, oh, there's only 2 4 stars on the Super Bowl winning team. That's a different category. And our hit rate was about 59 with, you're talking about guys that make $60,000 a year
That believe it or not, that job does not pay that well. Trust me, that's one of the reasons I don't do it anymore. You know, at the most, you make six figures if you're really, really good and a big name, with very limited resources, because it's ultimately you're working for a media company and not a scouting company, and those budgets, as Mike can attest, are much less. You don't get to go interview the janitor and this. So what did I take out from all that? And then this horrible, weird draft we just had. NFL people overthink it time and time and time again. Sometimes it's just it's not as hard as how they try to make it, and that's my takeaway from that. But yeah, that's interesting stuff, Mike.
Well, I tell you, and on that note, I tell you what we'll do. It's time for a timeout, so we'll hit a timeout, but we'll roll that into Rattler, because
I got a lot of thoughts on that too.
Yeah, I mean that's you're going with this.
There are two storylines where people think they have it right, and I don't think they are telling the entire story, either because they don't have it right or they don't want to have it right. Spencer Rattler's one, and then I have a couple of thoughts on the damn controversy you stirred up, JB, trying to pit Kip Bocknight against Gamecock active players. I have some thoughts on the real
so ridiculous.
I know I'm saying it in jest, but I had on the real crux of that.
Yeah.
And why people were so fired up by, correct me if I'm wrong, JC, but like that had the chat board on Big Spur going nuts.
Well, and it was misquoted. It wasn't even.
I know.
I asked him a question about who he would rather pitch to, power hitters or guys who just slap it around for 11 pitches. And he answered what he thought. And everybody took it.
I know. But I'm going to tell you that wasn't even the issue. For those that were all that's not even I'll tell you what the real issue is, and I've known Kip for 20 something years, but we'll get to that later.
We've got plenty to get to, an hour and 36 minutes worth of good stuff to get to. We hope will spend the rest of your Monday with us. We're gonna hit a quick timeout. Spencer Rattler on deck here on ITG.
I said, "Oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that."
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our tastes in college football teams are what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned and operated.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but you know, ultimately why the Big Ten stopped and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with with
Is that myocarditis?
Yeah, myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
It is April 29th, only a day and a half left in the month of April. Wow, that's nuts. A day and a half left in the month of April. Summer is right around the corner, and you'll probably want to sit outside with some of this beautiful weather. And then when it's warm, of course, you've probably got some of you have pools. I know you've got smokers or grills, back porches. What goes well with all that stuff? You going to sit on the concrete? No. You want to go to Palm Casual, palmcasual.com. Is where you can find the 30-day money-back guarantee, and it's like a real one. It's not one of these, like, it's not like a car dealer. You walk in, you're like, dude, the engine just blew up. I've had it for a week. That sucks. You need to call your insurance company. What? I'm making $700 a month payments on it. Not our problem. No, that's not what happens at Palm Casual. As Aaron told me, you can party on it for 29 straight days. On the 30th day, you can return it if it's really not worth a crap. And he's done it. He's literally handed people a check. Now, I highly suggest don't throw 29 straight parties and then return a bunch of beer-soaked furniture to Palm Casual.
Don't be that guy.
I'm just not happy with this furniture.
You'll
probably get banned.
You get the gist of it, right?
It's like cheating in a casino and selling cards in Vegas. It's not against the law, but you're not going to be welcome back.
I bought white cushions, and they're brown. Yeah, that's because your 2-year-old's doo-dooed all over them for 3 straight weeks. We're not,
or maybe you know, your buddy from college that can't control his liquor.
But, it's like the guy that eats an entire steak at a restaurant and then wants to return it and says, it wasn't to my liking. It wasn't cooked properly, but you just ate the entire steak.
Yeah, but
it wasn't to my liking. I'm sorry.
I got something to say for Gamecock fans out there. Sound the alarms. The Alabama football program's going to hell.
Uh-oh.
They just signed a transfer portal player from Charlotte. Shane took a lot of crap for that. A DB, no doubt. Alabama doesn't know anything about defensive backs, do they?
No.
Probably Kool-Aid. What kind of defense did the Charlotte 49ers have last year, by the way? Because he and Knight are not the only two that have left that program and gone somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then, you know, of course, number two, just for all you that did not want them to take an Ivy League offensive lineman, I heard that. When they offered a couple this past year and did not get them, the Bears in the third round selected an offensive tackle from Yale, local kid from Hinsdale, Illinois, 6'5", 332. They think he's going to be a stud in a couple of years. And, oh, by the way, Nick Gargiulo got drafted, which was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
But, and that's, you know, I say this all the time. It doesn't matter where they come from in the portal. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Good is good and bad is bad. Okay. Anyway, that's it.
Well, I think the only thing disappointing about the Gargiulo draft slot is that he didn't go last. That would have been the third Mr. Irrelevant in Gamecock football history. Right. I was really pulling for him to go at 257. But on that note, though, Spencer Rattler did go 150 and in the fifth round. And, you know, I've got certainly thoughts on this as well, Mike, but I know you were itching to – you've got some things on your plate. And
yeah, so I do.
Lead it off.
By the way, I'm sure you covered it in the first hour, but congratulations to Lamont Paris landing Nick Pringle. As I've said, that was a key get. If they were able to get him, they got him. that's big. That you take two out of three against Kentucky, and we'll get back into SEC baseball during the love drive around the SEC.
Carolina owns Kentucky in every sport. Oh, sorry. I was talking to my neighbor.
So I'm watching the draft, and, you know, it's boom, 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 six quarterbacks in the first 15 picks, and everybody's just like, what in the holy hell? Now, most of those weren't a surprise, but clearly there was a run on quarterbacks. And then you're like, okay, as they signed off after round one, you get ready for Friday night, and a lot of people are thinking, like, Spencer Rattler could be one of the first couple picks in the second round. I thought third round. That's what I said all along on this show. And then, of course, he winds up going fifth round. There were 137 picks between quarterbacks, between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler. That has never been done in the modern draft era. Never has there been that big of a gap. And, of course, you got the Pratt kid from Tulane, went in the seventh round, and you've got Mr. Million Dollar Arm in Joe Milton, who's kind of like the guy that wins a long drive contest, and then he gets his pitching wedge out, and he shanks every one of them. He goes sixth round, and then there's Spencer, who goes.
Which, by the way, where did Milton go?
I just forgot.
Help
me on that.
To the Milton, New England Patriots.
Went to Patriots. Yeah. They took May and Milton.
Joe Milton's like, policy. What?
Well, I mean, again, six-round pick. Well,
maybe Drake May.
Yeah. Most six-round picks do not pan out. We always hear about the ones who do, like a Tom Brady or a Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. But the overwhelming majority of six- and seven-round picks are not in the league in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Fifth round, I'd be curious to see the data. You know, that might be closer to 50-50, but I think it's actually a good landing spot for Spencer. You know, you got an aging Derek Carr whose body just feels like it's about to blow up at any moment, and he can at least compete there. And again, I think Spencer will be in the league for a while. But all these stories were breaking during the draft. Spencer Rattler, I realize I'm an unusual person watching 3 days straight of NFL draft coverage, and I need help. But if you did watch some of it, especially day two, day three, that was the biggest storyline going on, whether you were watching ESPN or the NFL Network. I was going back and forth. By the way, Saban was friggin' awesome. Nick Saban was unbelievable. You want to talk about Belichick? Saban was outstanding. And you can just see the difference between a guy who's given a job because he's a recruiter or what have you, versus a guy that just flat out knows how to friggin' coach. And Saban, you listen to him talk, and he is brilliant. Rattler, so the storyline was going, well, I keep hearing, you got Schefter, and you got what I'm hearing is that reality show when he was 17 years old, a lot of teams can't get past that.
Pete Thamel reported that.
Pete Thamel went out live on the air and reported that. Let me tell you what I honestly think, okay? If you want to talk about baggage, if you want to call that baggage, and I would say that's a very light baggage, if anything, that's nothing compared to Caleb Williams.
Right.
And Caleb Williams was the number one overall pick.
Right.
So you can't sit here and convince me that teams weren't going to – you're not even talking about big money, relatively speaking, when you take a third or fourth round pick on a Spencer Rattler. The number one reason why, and the thing that concerned me, and I think we were even live on the show when his 40 time came out, and I was like, whoa. I gave kind of like a JC squirrel. Hey, guys, by the way, sorry what you're talking about, but Spencer just ran a 4.95 40. That's not what I expected. I don't know what you guys expected. That was not good. So you got a guy who's basically a little over 6 feet tall, who doesn't have the strongest arm, who runs a 4.95. And so if you go to like Next Gen Stats, they broke down every quarterback. His quote unquote athleticism score is a 64. Where does that rank in all the quarterbacks that went to the combine? 13th. His production score was a 72. That ranked 7th. And what was he? The 7th quarterback taken. Again, I thought he would go higher, but the whole nonsense that the reason he slipped to the fifth round is because of a reality show when he was 17 years old. We're not talking about a guy who like beat the crap out of his girlfriend We're not talking about a guy that has three DUIs under his belt. We're talking about a kid who is a little arrogant and a little put offish during a reality show that, I'll be honest, I never saw it and I don't care to see it.
In high school.
Spencer Rattler in high school at 17. Mm. If Spencer Rattler ran a 4.45, if Spencer Rattler was 6'3 and a half, if Spencer Rattler had a stronger arm, he would not be in the fifth round. So, and you don't think a team that really loves Spencer Rattler's athleticism and ability wouldn't have called Shane Beamer up to double check this? Did you see the movie Draft Day? This is what they do. They call up the college coach and go, okay, Shane, give it to me straight. Is this kid a punk or what? No, dude, he's like the leader of our team. He had nobody to block. He had every opportunity to bitch and moan this past year. He didn't do it at all. He was a leader from start to finish, kept a positive attitude, loved the Gamecocks, loved everything. His teammates loved him, nominated him captain twice. Mm-hmm. That's not what put him in the fifth round. So if you want to be accurate in the reporting of this, it's not because of a reality show when he was in high school. It's because nothing about him jumps off the tape. Now, we all love Spencer Rattler because we watched what he did as a junior in wins over Tennessee and Clemson. We watched how he set a school record for completion percentage last year with, again, no offensive line, one wide receiver worth a damn. We saw that. But the way they look at it in the NFL, if you're drafting a kid, it wasn't enough to spend a lot of money on him. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought that whole storyline was a lot of bunk to me.
I get that, and I think he's in a good spot. I mean, this is the scenario was what concerned me. I mean, I didn't – if he'd have gone third round to a team that's pretty much set at quarterback, you know, I think what makes him even a valuable draft pick is that he's experienced, he's been through adversity, and he can come in and help your – next year, if something happens to Carr, he can come in and save your season for you. I mean, that's the kind of guy I thought he was. I also think the film doesn't lie. Nothing about Spencer Rattler and the way he played, though, because what you want to avoid is statues in the pocket. And this is the same league that drafted Blake Bortles number one overall. Okay, so keep this in mind. They've changed, and for the good, because they've understood after all these busts, you cannot be immobile in the pocket. You have to be able to slip, slide, feel pressure, make all scheduled plays. When you watch him on film, he is elusive in the pocket. And he wasn't a runner, but he wasn't a bad runner. If you took the sacks away, if we were playing with NFL stats, he would have had 300 rushing yards this past year, mainly because they couldn't run it any other way. And there were some plays where he just snuck through the cracks. But, you know, I get the 40 time. That's straight line speed, and I understand. And I don't think he is a plus, what you would call a plus athlete at the position. There are a lot of guys that do fit that bill. A lot of guys that were taken higher, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I totally understand that, though. I don't buy at all that a stupid reality show. I mean, like you said, Mike, Caleb Williams, more red flags than Tiananmen Square compared to that. I mean, I don't buy that. I think football reasons agree or disagree with them, which I disagree with half of them. It was a football decision.
Yeah, 100. I couldn't agree with you guys more. I was asked this question by Preston Thorne this morning on 107.5, and I prefaced it my answer with nobody cares what I think. I'm not an NFL scout, and I get that. But looking back on all of this, totally, Mike, I think you hit the nail on the head, and JC, you hit the nail on the head. First of all, I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 people, I'll guarantee it. Might be 10 out of 10. But I'll bet you 9 out of 10 people that use that show as an excuse, if that's what they say, never even watched it. I'll guarantee you that, okay? Because I can tell you right now, I hadn't seen it. And I just watched the guy play for 2 years, and that's all we heard about when he was being recruited to South Carolina. You would think that maybe, well, let's go check it out, see if this guy's a real, you know what? Never cared because saw him here and – you know, have firsthand accounts of what type of player he is, so really don't care what his 17-year-old reality show said about him. That's number one. Number two, to both of y'all's point, I go back to something that Lamont Paris said on our program, but also said multiple times before that about his basketball team. They were picked last. And he told his guys, either they don't think I'm a very good coach, or they don't think you're very good players, or maybe both. But at the end of the day, nobody thinks you're very good. That's not a bad thing for Spencer Rattler. at all, because all anybody did was question his ability to continue to be a good football player at South Carolina. And it got even louder when he was playing in the system that he was playing in before he finally said, I've had enough of this, and this is what we're going to do. And then the Tennessee game happened, and the rest of it is kind of his own history right here at Carolina. So being doubted as a football player, like if you're Spencer Rattler, number one, I think he is in the right organization. I'm with you on that, Mike. I think this is going to be a good system for him, and he'll be able to learn under a veteran with no pressure to step in and instantly be some sort of hero in the NFL. But number two, as opposed to that being hung over his head, like, man, I really wish I didn't do that. Not to mention, as you just pointed out, not in this, just this draft, but every draft ever, there are blank heads who go high, and nobody really cares about what they've done in the past. If they can help you win games, they're going to draft you. Even murderers go in the draft. I mean, it's crazy. But like, above all that, it's better for Spencer Rattler to hear what we're talking about. They didn't draft you because they don't think that you're better than that. That's why.
That's the
and
key
you know what? Takeaway. That's going to be the best thing for him to go forward with.
Yeah, look, the best thing that, to hear. The best thing that your first point to me is the one that resonates the most in terms of this is what I talked about leading up to the draft. I wanted to see Spence. I knew he wasn't going to be a first rounder in deference to our Mr. Kelly, who I think goes on with Bill Simmons and those guys quite a bit. I didn't think he was going to be a second rounder. I thought third round would be a nice cozy play. Okay, so he slipped to the fifth. The money on that first deal, when you're not a first round pick, we're talking pennies on the dollar. Spencer's not going to get paid until his second deal, and he's got 3 years to prove he can be a starter in the NFL to really make bank. So he didn't like lose a bunch of money or anything going from a third rounder to a fifth rounder. But what I really wanted to see was him go to a team that wasn't in complete shambles. I mean, God bless Drake May, because when he wakes up in the morning, he's going to look at that locker room and go, this is what you're giving me? No wonder Mac Jones fell flat on his ass. And two, a true opportunity to play and compete. Now, he's not going to beat Derek Carr right away, but I don't think Derek Carr is going to be in the league much longer, to be honest with you. And so, a couple of years from now, if Spencer proves the naysayers and he says, look, I might not be the best athlete, but to JC's point, I do have pocket mobility. I can move. I'm not slow. My arm's not the strongest, but it's strong enough. Turn on the tape against Tennessee and Clemson. And in the NFL, presumably I'll have an offensive line that can block, and I'll have more than one wide receiver who can get open. These things tend to make a quarterback look better. So I think it's a good situation. And, don't shed a tear for Spencer Rattler. He's going to be just fine. But I thought the reporting on that was such a supposition. It was such a giant leap to say, not even imply. Basically, you had people coming out saying, he would have been a second or third round pick. However, that teenage Netflix show, reality show, which was watched by 37,000 people worldwide, that's what NFL scouts and teams are. That's why they're shying away. Meanwhile, they're drafting guys that have really questionable pass, a hell of a lot higher in the fifth round all the time. And all you had to do is pick up the phone, and I guarantee you they did. We ought to have, when we have Shane on, ask him how many teams called about Spencer Rattler. Yep. And you know that Shane raved about the kid, and he didn't have to lie. He didn't have to stretch the truth. Everything Spencer did the moment he arrived on campus was you could only dream of, from a leadership standpoint, from an attitude standpoint, from a performance standpoint. You got everything you could possibly ask and more. So that's not the reason he went to the fifth round. And I just got tired of hearing that throughout Saturday and Sunday, watching, again, countless hours of the coverage.
Well, and to your point, you go ahead. I'm sorry, JC.
I'm sorry. The work ethic thing was insane, because the kid not only would fly all the way across the country from Arizona during the summer, and work out with his teammates. He would then go home during breaks and work out with his private quarterback's coach and be on the phone with whoever the OC was here trying to perfect the offense. He worked extremely hard in the weight room when he was here. Guys that are prima donnas don't do that. And also, I want to point this out before we'll throw it to JB. what happened to Rattler at South Carolina? A lot more adversity and a lot more losses and a lot more poor statistical lines. 126 yards against Clemson was the last, how he went out. A lot more times where things didn't go his way when he was clearly the best player on the field. A prima donna just throws everybody else under the bus.
Absolutely.
And he was never like – even having to play for Marcus Satterfield. I mean, which everybody and their brother knew was just ridiculous. You know, the guy just kept keeping on. And by the way, he and Xavier Leggett both had a lot of great things to say about Dowell Loggins and this year's offensive plan. Yeah. You know, but anyway, guys that are prima donnas like that, when they're in a situation, because fundamentally more people can name Spencer Rattler as a player across the country than they know of any other player on South Carolina's roster. So fundamentally, perception wise, it's easy for a guy like that just to be like, well, I transferred to this program. It's not worth a flip. And, you know, bye. I'm good. Y'all can all kiss my butt. He not even once to the very end was that. And I got another secret to let you get on. Hey, Carolina made a bowl. I think there was a 90% chance he was playing.
Yeah.
And it would, yeah. Everybody else would have opted out of the Birmingham Bowl or whatever. Yeah. So I heard zero about Spencer being a bad teammate, or he did everything the coaches asked of him, loved being here. And I think if he ends up having a successful career in the NFL, it's going to help this program moving
no
forward.
No doubt. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's the other thing. And by the way, I mean, I was watching Spencer, even knowing he's a good kid, expecting a little bad body English, much like a relief pitcher who's about to get a save, but the shortstop boots it, and now all of a sudden it's a tie game. Much like a basketball player throws the perfect pass and a guy misses a layup in a key spot. There might be, even if you're a great kid and you're a great leader, it might be a little, just a twinge of bad body English. Like, man, I just want everybody to know that's his fault, not mine. You never got 1% of that with Spencer Rattler, not one. But the bigger point, Todd Ellis was the last quarterback drafted. That was back when we had 9 rounds. He went in the 9th round. He didn't throw a pass in the NFL. I've said before, it's amazing to me that an SEC caliber program with a lot going for it, as South Carolina does, hasn't had more successful quarterbacks and hasn't had more quarterbacks taken in the draft. I mean, literally to go, Ellis was drafted in what, 89? Is that right, guys?
90.
Okay, yeah. The 90 draft. Yeah, 89 would be his last season. So we're talking 34 years?
Yeah.
And if you really go modern day, 7 rounds, you're going what? To the end of time, right?
Yeah, Jeff Grant is the only other quarterback, and he went like the 17th round.
Back then it was like a baseball draft. And I think your uncle, because he said he played well in a flag game.
Dan Reeves technically was a quarterback here, but he was drafted as a running back.
Running back, which is what he played for Dallas.
Yeah.
That is, you guys understand like just how stunning that is? Like every power conference team has had quarterbacks drafted during that time frame. Why do I bring that up? Because it matters. Just like having a G.G. Jackson light it up in the NBA helps you in a basketball recruiting standpoint, because kids want to know, well, hey, somebody else did it here. I can do it here. Quarterbacks now can look at a Spencer Rattler, who played 2 years at South Carolina, and everybody saw him. He's in a big spotlight. And they can say, hey, he played here, and he was drafted, and he's still in the league, and I saw him play last Sunday. That does help. That does matter. So getting Spencer Rattler to come, which is the only reason he did with Shane Beamer, if we're being honest, fire Shane, and having him perform and get drafted, like that's a big deal. That is no small thing to have that happen. And I think I still have a vision of Carolina one day getting the 4-star quarterback or even 5-star quarterback that didn't grow up in the state of South Carolina to still go, you know what? I'm going to be a Gamecock. I'm going to do something different and not go to the same 12 schools that so many of these guys go to. Just food for thought.
Well, in their defense, they kind of did get that with Steven when he picked the Gamecocks over Florida and Florida State and everybody else under the sun back then. But no, I know what you're saying. Exactly. Totally agree with that. And a couple other things on Rattler too. you know, all, again, on the report, like, I don't really blame Pete Thamel. He was reporting what he was told. I can't imagine he was making up the reports. At least I hope he wasn't.
No, Pete's good. Like, Pete's credible.
But like, when he listed all, just the first thing that it came out of his mouth was 6 feet tall, 40 times. Just stop there. The rest of everything you're about to say is stuff people are throwing up against the wall just so they can support their decision to let him, you know, to slip him back into the fifth round. And then on top of that, he's in a winnable division. Like, it's not a very good division. I mean, I think
it's the worst in pro football. You're being kind.
Yeah, the Bucs won it last year at 9-8. And as a matter of fact, I think the Saints had this similar 9-8 record, but head-to-head, because they finished second, they were behind them. So it's really a unique opportunity as well for the University of South Carolina. Like, think about this. We don't have it yet. I guess the schedule will be out soon. But at some point in time this year, and who knows what happens between now and then, I'm not projecting. I don't think he's going to go in and start. Could he start by the end of the year? Of course he could. I think he can. I think he's good. But wouldn't it be neat, right, to see Spencer Rattler and the Saints walk into Charlotte to play against Xavier Leggett and Jadeveon Clowney and DJ Wonnum and J.C. Horn and apparently Jamie Robinson is playing up there now. So, I mean, you're talking about a division that would be littered with a bunch of very popular South Carolina names in the NFC South. And you know, from Tampa to New Orleans to Charlotte, I don't really know what's going on in Atlanta, but you get the point. So I think that would really be neat, and it's a great marketing opportunity for the University of South Carolina to be able to utilize this as well. So I'm with y'all. I thought it was garbage. I thought that was garbage. He's better than a fifth rounder, but basically at the end of the day, hey Spencer, they draft you in the fifth round because they don't think you're very good. That's why they drafted you. So use that as motivation and go out there and show everybody just how good you are. And then for the other guys, y'all mentioned Dial and Gargiulo, just as drafties in addition to Leggett, who's in a great spot for him personally. Love the Nick Gargiulo story. Love him going to Sean Payton. If I had a chance to play in the NFL, I'd want to play for Sean Payton. And Marcellus Dial, actually, I sent him a text this weekend, JC, and let him know that we'll be pulling for him. He's such a nice kid. And
that's a bit of a surprise. I didn't see many draft boards with him being picked.
23. That's the 23rd defensive back selected from the University of South Carolina since 1998. One of my favorite players, Lee Wiggins, started this run.
Lee,
And so 23 have been drafted now since 1998.
I bet you between the four of us, we could name all 23. That's for a slower day, but
and that's the last 4 years, really. I mean, Horn went in the first round, obviously. Then last year it was Rush and Cam Smith at corner, and then Dial at corner. The thing about Marcellus Dial is he had some moments last year that were like bad, that were costly. It's kind of like that, like, you know, if you're the snapper, you don't want anybody to mention your name. Well, if you're a lockdown corner. And you don't really hear your name called a lot of times because teams aren't throwing toward you. Teams avoided Marcellus last year for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I thought as the third corner down the stretch last year, he started playing better, had a really good game against Clemson. Always has been capable, but you know, that missed tackle against Florida stands out last year. And then some of the big bombs against the secondary at large, not necessarily him, kind of stood out. I think the fans and they didn't think he would be trapped, but I always thought he had some potential and
I
would be a late round pick. Gargiulo is the one that sort of surprises me just because I didn't really know much about the other offensive linemen. But, you know, like I said, when people were trashing him, you know, the guy played hurt most of the year. And there's a difference between playing injured and playing hurt. He was hurt most of the year and was really Carolina's best offensive lineman outside of Vershawn Lee when Vershawn was at center. I thought most consistent. Not that he didn't get beat, but everybody gets beat in this league. So hats off to those two. I think that's good for Coach Beamer and for the staff that those late pickups really, I think, help support a little bit of a positive narrative for the program.
By the way, since you mentioned the game, and it wasn't, I mean, the guy that was getting torched in the Florida game was not the guy who got drafted. That's a whole other story. But
No.
You remember when that happened and people were talking about Ricky Pearsall, like he was just chopped liver, like some kid. And I was like, I don't know what you guys are looking at, but I'll bet you he's going to be a second round pick. Well, I was wrong. He was late first. you got beat by a pretty legit guy. There was a run of SEC receivers that I all thought would be like between 30 and 36.
Mm-hmm.
It was Leggett. It was Ladd McConkey. It was Pearsall. They all went around that. This was a loaded draft for wide receiver. In an average draft, Leggett's probably top 20 to 15. But in this draft, holy smokes, the amount of talent at wideout. I still think Odunze is going to be the best of them all.
As deep as I can remember, that's for sure. By the way, the couple of things here. Does anybody know who took a quarterback next in the draft after Rattler?
Well, I know who went.
Whoever took the kid from Tulane, right?
Well, no, Pratt went in the 7th, I thought.
Jordan Travis went after.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know where he went?
He's behind a guy that's going to be there, the starter for a couple of years. I forgot now. Go ahead.
The New York Jets.
Yeah, so, behind Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Thankfully, the Saints took Rattler. The guy would, if I'm him, yeah, I don't know that I want to be behind Rodgers, let alone in that organization. Like, hey, give me New Orleans. I'm good here. And then also, quick note on TJ Johnson, the last center prior to, I just did it. I told you. The last center drafted prior to Nick Gargiulo was
TJ Johnson. TJ Johnson? The pride of Ainer.
Son of a nutcracker.
Ainer Blue Jack. Yeah.
I screwed it up. So you got TJ Johnson from Ainer. You got Xavier Leggett from Mullins. How about the little state of South Carolina?
JC did something on that, right? All the wide receivers.
I got that article. I want to talk about it in the next hour. The amount of, since 2004, the amount of receivers from small towns in South Carolina drafted, it's double digits plus. I mean, in Clemson and Carolina, it's all Clemson and Carolina. There's Troy Brown back in the day went to Marshall and started with the New England Patriots. Somebody pointed that out too. And all South Carolina kids that stayed in state. And it reads like some of these guys were all pro. So yeah, we'll talk about that next hour.
And we've got a drive around the SEC.
Getting in the Chevy Silverado, baby. Let's do it.
When we return, Mike will get us up to 85, 90, maybe 95 miles per hour if you're driving out west. No cops around. Windows down. Steamroll it. Yeah, see what he's got in there. And Mike wanted to address the wild narrative that was somehow created out of Kip Baltnight being on our program last week. We've already addressed it once, and we'll let Mike address it again. That's kind of ridiculous what people turn that into. A loaded hour 3 coming up. You're on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown door. Set up the screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Pitches it to Brewer, turns to Cody, touchdown, number 20 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're gone.
I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.